When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, everybody. Wednesday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show starts right now, and we have much to discuss, as is often the case here. A lot of news breaking, a lot of things happening. We've got the Trump trial in NYC. Jury selection fully underway. A number of jurors making it through the early stages of the gauntlet, that is jury selection. We will discuss how, a little bit the same way that the Supreme Court, we're told, is a nonpartisan institution. Jury selection, a lot of people clearly have animus against Trump, for example, and it seems some of them are, in this jury process, trying to suggest that, oh, but I could still be impartial. Yeah, we'll discuss this in detail. Trump also going up to the, a bodega, which is like a small neighborhood grocery store. New Yorkers all know, but for other folks across the country, bodega is not as common a thing. Isn't that the one also where I think Dr. Jill Biden, and just so you're clear, we call her that sarcastically. Some of you write in and say, she's not really a doctor. We know. That's the point. We like to be, you know, like Dr. Jill Biden's getting called in by her pager on an episode of Grey's Anatomy to save lives. She wrote a PhD dissertation that was absolute garbage for, I think, University of Delaware or something on education. Anyway. But yes, Dr. Jill Biden, I think she was the one who said, bodega or something. She didn't know what a bodega was. It's pretty funny. But this is about the bodega guy who defended himself with a knife on video against an assailant who was much bigger, who cornered him and for no reason, started just punching him, and he defended himself with a knife and the guy died, and he was charged with murder, if you remember. Alvin Bragg, we were outraged here on this show and said it at the time, and the pressure from people of New York and across the country who recognize what an outrage this is pushed Bragg to drop those charges. But Trump is going to visit that store proprietor, go visit the guy working at the bodega. He went, and this is highlighting, I think, a big difference between Democrats and Republicans going into this election cycle. Also, a lot of hubbub, a lot of stuff going on online around the salary that Caitlin Clark has, the president, or at least his staff. Again, we know Joe Biden doesn't write his tweets, but it's on his behalf, right? So the White House apparatus put out a tweet upset about how much money Caitlin Clark, the NCAA female basketball superstar, how much she is going to make. It is, by professional athletic standards, not a lot of money. And there's the Biden White House is saying this is unfair because Joe Biden neither knows nor understands the first thing about running a business, economics, supply and demand, anything like that. So we will definitely want to dive into some of that because it's, well, it just shows that one side here lives in reality and the other side lives in a delusion. And then we've got, this is the big one for me today. You know, Clay and I were going back and forth on this one on air, just talking about, because he started bringing to my attention the tweets around NPR's new chief, the chief commissar of NPR. And the thing about it is when you look at her tweets, it's very apparent that everything that you think is true of the head of NPR is in fact true of the head of NPR. And Uri Berliner, who is the guy who is an NPR editor who said, hey, hold on a second. There are 87 editors in the newsroom and not a single one of them is a Republican. Every one of them is a registered Democrat. That can't be a journalistic enterprise of any seriousness. Clay, he has resigned. I have his real quick. Here's his resignation letter sent to Catherine Marr, who we're going to have some fun with here in a second. I'm resigning from NPR, great American institution where I've worked for 25 years. I don't support calls to defund NPR. Well, too bad. I respect the integrity of my colleagues and wish for NPR to thrive and do important journalism, but I cannot work in a newsroom where I am disparaged by a new CEO whose divisive views confirm the very problems at NPR in my free press essay. Clay, is this a shockwave through the communist media? Well, we will dive into it, in that regard. First, I got to say, look at some of the tweets from, oh, we have better than tweets. We have Catherine Marr, I suppose no relation to Bill Maher, same spelling of the last name. We have Catherine Marr here, the new NPR CEO. I think she just took over in January of this year, so it's new. The kind of things that you think, without even knowing, an NPR boss would say. She is like made in a lab by communists. It's amazing when you actually hear her view of things. For example, she's one of these individuals who works in journalism, and you really have to put the scare quotes. The scare quotes must be there. She's one of these people who works in journalism, but thinks that the First Amendment is an impediment to the real mission. And you say, well, hold on a second. How can freedom of expression and free speech be a challenge to journalism? The only way is if journalism is actually propaganda, is if you're taking a partisan point of view in order to bring about a certain conclusion in the mind of the audience. Catherine Marr, back in 2021, June of 2021, during the pandemic, she was CEO of Wikimedia. So I think she was running Wikipedia, like that falls under. And let me tell you, Wikipedia, just like Twitter was before Elon bought it, it is a communist enclave. They absolutely control Wikipedia. There's so much bias, all kinds of things going on there that, you know, people should be very cognizant of whenever you do a Wikipedia search. I should also be very cognizant. Ginger has found her way into the studio, and while I am doing a live radio show for millions of people, is dropping her favorite chew toy on my feet and saying, you must throw this. So if you're watching the video, wondering why the chew toy is being thrown, there you go. Catherine Marr, 2021 June. This is what she said when she was running Wikimedia. Play it.
We took a very active approach to disinformation and misinformation coming into not just the last election, but also looking at how we supported our editing community in an unprecedented moment where we were not only dealing with a global pandemic, we were dealing with a novel virus, which by definition means we knew nothing about it in real time. And we're trying to figure it out as the pandemic went along. And so we really set up in response to both the pandemic, but also in response to the upcoming US election. And as a model for future elections outside of the U.S., including a number that are happening this year. The model was around how do we create sort of a clearinghouse of information that brings the institution of the Wikimedia Foundation with the editing community in order to be able to identify threats early on through conversations with government, of course, as well as other platform operators to understand sort of what the landscape looks like.
That's a lot of jargon to say we were coordinating with the Biden administration to decide what could be said on Wikipedia and through Wikimedia about the pandemic. That is state media. Now, this is also interesting because NPR likes to have it both ways. Oh, we're just like honest journalists, man. Like, we just care about the truth and journalism. And yet they take money from the federal government. I believe state governments also give money to NPR. And when people like me point this out, and conservatives have been saying this for years, we don't get any state money, right? I mean, I said to Clay, I said, look, you know, if the federal government wants to give us $5 or $10 million, I'd say, hey, you know, I mean, we wouldn't take it. I'm just kidding. Well, we'd think about it, but we probably wouldn't take it. Why would you have state funding of this? It's absurd on its face. It makes no sense. And then they say, well, it's only federal government 1% of our budget or something, to which I say, great, then you don't need it. It can't be we don't need the funding, but don't take away our funding. But that's the game that NPR plays. Oh, no, it's not like we're reliant on state funds. But if you take it away from us, you're destroying like access to information for, you know, 100 million Americans or whatever it is they say that listens to it or has access to it. But back to the point here, why is this a moment that I think is getting so much attention from everybody? One, you have an NPR, the guy worked there for decades. So it's not like what you get on the left. Sometimes on the left, you'll have some, infiltrator, you know, get somebody who's like, oh, like I managed to get a job at Fox News. I worked there for 2 months and it's propaganda. I mean, no. This is a guy, Uri Berliner is a guy who was drinking the Kool-Aid for a long time. I mean, it's not like NPR just went woke. It is the most woke. In fact, it's so woke that when someone tells me in real life that they're an NPR listener, I'm actually somewhat curious to hear what they have to say. So I'm like, I want to know, you know, if they listen to CNN, I know it's just all, I hate Trump. But if they listen to NPR, they're just like, yeah, we just need to get rid of gender entirely. And we just need a global government. And we all need to get rid of capitalism. And you're just like, wait, what? Like they're on this whole other level of delusion and separation from reality. And we have more, by the way, of Catherine Marr. Again, the First Amendment is the foundation upon which really all American rights are built. Right? If you cannot speak, and that's why the whole thing when Clay and I were talking about the trial in New York, and there was that, you know, that imbecile Swalwell who's like, oh, you can't say that, Clay. When that was going on, I remember thinking, if you can't talk about a trial and what's just and unjust, we by definition do not live in a free society. And when the people who are supposed to be the most stalwart defenders of the First Amendment, when they are on the other side, it's not even that they refuse to do their job. They have joined the enemies of the First Amendment. They are part of the censorship apparatus. They are going above and beyond to silence people who disagree with them or who just refuse to carry the water of the communist Democrat left in this country. When you reach that point, you see that we're actually at a dangerous moment in time for our most basic freedoms. I'm going to get into more of this Catherine Marr lady in a sec because she's amazing. I'm telling you. She is the perfect NPR CEO. All of her positions, I've got her tweets here. And what you need to know, if you're saying, oh, Buck, I don't even listen to NPR. I don't even care. Her mentality is reflected in the executive suites of every major newspaper and news organization that is not explicitly right of center in America. And every editorial room, every newsroom for a for a publication that would not be identified by the left as conservative. So, right, whether you would say the Wall Street Journal is conservative or not, guess what? The left thinks it's very conservative. They think it's ultra right wing. They're crazy. This is an exploration of the mindset of the censorious totalitarian left. And that's why I think it's so fascinating. But also, I mentioned the Uri Berliner guy. It's too much for him after 20 years. If you've been working at NPR for 20 years, how crazy must NPR be for you to finally say, for 20 years, I was okay with these commies, but now they've gone too far. You know, in a sense, he shows what I've been saying now for over a decade. The acceleration of the lunacy from the left is very real, and it's happening all the time. This is not the same Democrat Party it was 10 or 20 years ago. It's certainly not the same media that it was. So we'll discuss. And if any of you have any funny NPR anecdotes, I would love to hear them. Or just, you know, if you've listened to NPR recently and you found yourself, you know, if you're in the car and you're looking for Clay and Buck on the AM, and all of a sudden you find yourself listening to NPR, it's like an assault on your eardrums. All of a sudden, but I know it can be very melodic sounding. It's like, oh, well, today we're talking about the best way to make a summer salad. You know, I know. They sneak that stuff in there. 800-282-2882. You know, we get to the truth on a whole range of topics here every day on this program. And that's the mission that Clay and I have. But that's also the mission that our friend Mark Chaykin has when he covers U.S. stocks. He wants to cut through the noise and the nonsense. He's not looking to follow the herd. He's trying to find ways to show people who believe in his research and his work how to make money in the markets by going against the most obvious front page stuff from the journal, by finding things that others don't see, including their mania and AI stocks, all the hype around all that stuff. Mark knows what's real and what's not. And he's saying right now is a new dawn for U.S. stocks. He predicts dozens of specific companies will be impacted in just the next 90 days. That's why Mark has agreed to share one of his favorite AI stocks to buy now with our listeners. He put everything in a new presentation you can watch for free at 2024AIStock.com. That's 2024AIStock.com, 2024AIStock.com, paid for by Chaykin Analytics.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D. The number one fantasy sports app in America is Prize Picks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on Prize Picks. If you've not yet downloaded Prize Picks, do it today. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code CLAY, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
On this program, Clay and I are here to help you cut through the noise, the ulterior motives, to uncover the truths that no one else is going to tell you. That's what our colleague Mark Chaykin does, but for the U.S. stock market. Mark worked on Wall Street for 50 years. Across those decades, he invented three new indices for the NASDAQ and has predicted some of the biggest market shifts of the past decade, including the recent mania in AI stocks. Mark says the majority of Americans are...
I am out in Seattle. Buck, I've already noticed. Appreciate 1090, The Patriot, our affiliate out here, a Real Talk AM, hosting us. Fantastic city filled with crazy people. You will appreciate this, Buck. As I was waiting to get on the elevator this morning at the studio in Seattle, there was one other guy waiting for the elevator. He saw me come up waiting beside him, pulled his mask out of his back pocket, put it on his face to ride with his mask on in the elevator with me up one floor. He was on floor two. I was on floor four. He was standing in the lobby perfectly fine. I can only manage the panic that he felt when I walked up near him. And as a result, it was, that's just kind of, I thought that it epitomized, even though I've only been here a little bit, because yesterday I was in Atlanta and I had the late night flight out here. But I thought that kind of epitomized Seattle for me. Guy standing in a lobby with no mask on. I walk up beside him. He's literally going up one elevator floor, right? He's on the elevator for 30 seconds, puts a full mask on for purposes of that drive.
Have you, be honest, I mean, you've been very honest about your feelings about the Crown. As somebody who's currently in Seattle, were you ever made to watch by your wife Grey's Anatomy? And did you feel like everything was always actually gray and swimming in estrogen?
You know what? I don't think I've ever seen a Grey's Anatomy episode, and I don't think Laura has ever watched Grey's Anatomy.
Really?
So I may have dodged a bullet there because I know it was a very popular show, but I remember all of the attention on that show back in the day, and I always felt like people were speaking a different language because I've never seen
Frasier
an episode.
Is the far superior Seattle show. I'm just going to say.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
Frasier was a very good show back in the day. I want to tell you, born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation supported our nation's heroes and their families ever since. Heroes like Marine Corps Sergeant Adam Mayo. Mayo served our nation for over 7 years before he was severely injured during training. He was left paralyzed from the chest down, limiting his ability to move around his home independently. Tunnel to Towers paid Sergeant Mayo's mortgage, removing a financial burden for him and his family. The foundation gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his specific needs. Tunnel Towers helps countless injured service members and first responders. They do the same for Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders. The foundation's also committed to eradicating veteran homelessness. They do incredible work. We are very happy to partner with them at Crockett Coffee, and you can join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs. That's Tunnel to Towers, T2T.org.
We're talking a bit about NPR and the media meltdown going on over there. We'll dive into that some more. I'll take some of your calls, but letting you know, coming up the next hour, Clay is still having cable news hosts calling for him to be incarcerated, which I think is very mean and also very stupid. But there are still some of them out there. Clay, with this audience, we'd get you out, buddy. Don't worry about it. There's no...
I'm in Seattle. I mean, if I were going to be arrested in a city, I would put Seattle top five most likely cities to arrest me.
I mean, it definitely would not be where I would want to be facing whoever the district attorney is there. We'll discuss that, and also the from the White House furor over the market rate that you get if you pay or play in the WNBA. People are very upset that when you have very few fans and make very little money, you don't pay people that work in that industry all that much money. You know,
I mean, WNBA, Buck, has never made a dollar of profit in over 25 years of existence.
I just don't understand. When I was a high school soccer coach, I was doing important work and I loved that job and had a lot of fun.
And I just think I should have been paid $1 million. I don't know why. That seems fair to me. I think $1 million for one season is fair.
Question, how many businesses exist that have not made money for 25 straight years?
Can we put a pin in it? Because I want us to come back to this with the White House and the whole thing. Because right now, it's like waving the stake.
I'm fascinated by it.
It's waving the stake in front of the lion cage with Clay when you talk about the WNBA salary situation. I know he wants to dive into it. We're going to get into that next hour. We got a little more here, though, on the resignation of this longtime NPR editor, because he basically, I'm translating what he said here, but he's like, these people are out of their minds. Like, this whole thing is a joke. Nobody here is trying to be nonpartisan. And we all know this, and I know that's a part of it, but this is exposing it in a way that it goes yet again, you know, on the wall of shame for journalism. And this Catherine Marr lady is a perfect example of why, if you're a conservative right now, there are places they would even consider hiring you or letting you work ever. I mean, they would be offended if you even sent in your resume to them. And it's effectively all news organizations that are not considered. See, there are some that would say that they're not right wing, right? But the left would say they're right wing because they're not explicitly left wing. I know that can be a little garbled, but that's the reality of the media landscape. It's who the left thinks is right wing, because that just means you're not insane. Catherine Marr, here we go. Here's some of the best ones. These are tweets from the head of NPR, which does get your tax dollars, whether you want it to or not. She tweeted this one out, Clay. Or, I don't know, the planet is literally burning, and it took until my early 30s to stop living paycheck to paycheck, and maybe giant ethical gamble for children in question has become clear, unless, of course, you're suffused with enough privilege to have to wonder. The language choices and words here, Clay, I always find this fascinating. If you go watch old, like old spy movies and things, there's a mechanistic way that KGB agents and Soviet bureaucrats speak about things. There's words, you know, about the party and comrade and all, to show people that they are obedient to the narrative. We have the same thing in this country with the left. I mean, what she's saying here, the way she's constructing it, none of this is meant to make any sense. It's all meant to show everyone, I am down for the cause.
Buck, there's also now more information on this. This is from the Wall Street Journal, sorry, New York Times. About 50 NPR employees, this is Ben Mullen, 50 NPR employees signed a letter to the CEO and the top editor calling for, among other things, a public rebuke of, quote, the factual inaccuracies and elisions in Uri Berliner's Free Press essay. So they're still not over the fact that their objectivity could be questioned in any way, and they are now demanding a public rebuke of the things that were said based on his article. So this is, again, I know you were talking about this in the open. If the Republican Party were in any way competent, and we understand that in many ways it is not, they would do a full dive into every dollar that NPR gets, and they would legitimately go after any funding that is directly or indirectly taxpayer related that NPR gets, because NPR fights so hard to claim that it isn't government-sponsored media because they actually are getting tons of money. And you guys know, and Monday was a tax day, everybody's still recovering from. But if you give accountants the opportunity to do the books, they can try to create revenue that doesn't look like it's direct, and it actually is, but they're claiming that it's indirect because of the way the money is spent. Based on what was published by Uri Berliner, there should never be another direct or indirect dollar that NPR gets. And they should have to live on their own in the capitalist marketplace. And right now, they seem terrified at the idea that they should have to do so. But I think it's interesting that all of these employees, who are all left-wing Democrats, are demanding that this one guy, who also, by the way, is a Democrat, that he not be allowed to have the opinion that they are rigging the entire editorial process.
Oh, and I've got more tweets from the NPR yes. CEO here that we could have some fun with. This one was particularly great. She wrote, anyone, and these are all from the last couple of years, doesn't really matter what the date is because we're just showing the mindset. Anyone else love watching the credits at the end of a movie or show just to marvel at the diversity of names and surnames involved? Always gives me happy goosebumps to see the world scroll by. She gets goosebumps when they're running the names at the end of a movie? Like, this is a crazy religious belief. Everybody else is either fast-forwarding, pressing stop, or walking out of the room. Nobody cares. But she gets goosebumps when she sees the credits at the end of a movie? What is this? Like, this is not normal stuff, Clay. There's something wrong with people that think this way.
Well, I mean, they're in a cult. I mean, that's where you have to start. The woke cult requires that you take leaps of faith and put out statements that are clearly, objectively, not in any way related to the truth, right? And they've replaced religion with this ideology of genuflection at the altar of DEI. And what's disappointing is that someone like this could rise to the level of management. Because the one thing you would want is, if I were sort of waving a magic wand and saying, who do I want as the head of a journalistic organization? I would say I want somebody who's super open-minded and willing to consider that he or she might be wrong and follow the facts wherever they lead. That's what journalism at its essence used to do that no longer occurs. These are propagandists, and I guess that's fine, but allowing them to masquerade as independent arbiters of truth is where I think all of media has lost its way.
Well, this is also why it's so important for them to keep up this. It's a fig leaf, right? It's a facade of neutrality, because if they are open about what they do, and CNN has just gone through this, right? CNN lost the facade. It lost that veil of false neutrality when it went so psychotically anti-Trump. Purged all of the conservatives on the on-air payroll. Like, it was no longer possible, and Zucker got ousted, right, because of it. You go into the Biden era. Now what do? You can't just talk about Trump all day long. You've got a bunch of lunatic left-wingers posing as newsmen and women. So they had to do a whole reshuffle there, because if you're, one, they want to present it as truth, not opinion. That's always the sense, because that's more powerful, right? For political purposes. Oh, we're not telling you what we think. We're telling you what is true. And the only way to really achieve that is to be either factual entirely, which they're not, or honest about where you come from and say, this is the truth as I see it. You are free to disagree. They lie. They won't do that. CNN won't do that. And NPR won't do that. And then the other part of it is, Clay, this is also how they can avoid having to defend their positions publicly, meaning, you know, what would happen if you and I walked in the New York Times editorial, either of us, both of us together? I mean, they would have heart attacks, but we walk in the New York Times editorial room and we're like, all right, guys, we want to talk to you about, let's have a conversation about the following issue. They'd get smoked, and they yes. know they'd get smoked.
They'd probably put their masks on first, like the guy in the elevator.
What's up?
Probably put their masks on first, like the guy in the elevator. Sure.
They double mask when they saw you coming.
I know.
Tamperer. He's very upset at you. It's ridiculous.
But no, you're right. They don't. And this to me was the lesson of the only real debate we've seen in the past few years, which was Gavin Newsom versus Ron DeSantis. Gavin Newsom got filleted because he's been protected by the media for so long that suddenly when he wasn't able to spread easy, refutable lies about his tenure as governor of California, DeSantis absolutely destroyed him. And I think that's what should happen when these ideas end up in the marketplace and are legitimately debated.
I also think there was a greater willingness by Democrats in the media to debate 15, 20 years ago because some of their positions were more debatable.
Yes.
You know, it's far less insane. If somebody wants to sit down and have an argument with me over whether the top marginal tax rate should be 47% instead of, I think it's 39 or 37 now, I can't even remember, but what I just paid my taxes, whatever it is, yeah.
you know, there's an argument. Like, I would disagree with them. I think taxes should be lower, but there's an argument. They could say, well, here's how we would direct the spending. They'd be lying because the spending never goes what they say. But I'm just saying, there's an argument to be had. When I sit there and I'm like, that guy, he has a penis, he is a man, and they're like, no, you're a bigot. What are we even going to talk about? You know what I'm saying? It's a trans woman. What are we even going to talk about?
They don't even argue with you. They immediately go to personal attack. I've got a funny one that was, I think I sent it to you guys after we went off the air yesterday. And one of the many angry left-wing responses to my jury analysis earlier this week. I'll share it with you when we come back. I think you'll get a good laugh from it.
Yeah. 800-282-2882. Light up those lines. And I was just showing it to some friends yesterday. I said, have you guys seen my Liberty Safe? It's pretty cool because it looks awesome. It's super strong. It's an incredibly well-made safe made here in America for the security of Americans' valuables. You see these stories about overseas international burglary gangs. Totally true. You can go check this out online, who come here and all they do is just very adeptly, unfortunately, sneak into homes and steal all your valuables. And they're really good at it. And then they go back overseas where they come from. This is a thing that's happening. If you don't have a safe, it's so easy for them. If you have a safe, guess what? They're going to go to someone else's house probably, right? Because who wants to deal with that? Liberty Safe. You need to have one in your home. Where do you keep the cash you have on hand? Your precious metals, watches, jewelry, deeds, documents that you really need. You got to keep it all safe. Also, it just makes sense because then you have it where you need it, when you need it. Liberty Safes are guaranteed for life. They can be delivered and installed in your home by an expert national dealer network. They did it for me. So easy. The guys were so helpful. So go right now. Get yourself a Liberty Safe. Different sizes, colors, whatever space you want to fit it into, they're probably going to have the perfect safe for you. Shop LibertySafe.com/radio for a customized fortress strong Liberty Safe and use promo code radio for a 10% discount. That's LibertySafe.com/radio. And use the coupon code radio for 10% off.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
On this program, Clay and I are here to help you cut through the noise, the ulterior motives, to uncover the truths that no one else is going to tell you. That's what our colleague Mark Chaykin does, but for the U.S. stock market. Mark worked on Wall Street for 50 years. Across those decades, he invented three new indices for the NASDAQ and has predicted some of the biggest market shifts of the past decade, including the recent mania in AI stocks. Mark says the majority of Americans are...
Who's there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is severely injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans and who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families.
The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America in so many ways. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institutes, educating kids in K through 12 grades to help our nation keep its vow to never forget.
More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T2T.org.
Worth noting that the Trump trial is not taking place on Wednesday, but they have now gone out, Buck, and they have seven different jurors. And maybe in the next hour, we've got limited descriptions of those jurors. Some of them cautiously, maybe some reason for optimism. Again, there's only a couple of sentences that they're allowed to give to describe them. But I was reading last night that seven, it does mean that they're seating this jury faster than, frankly, I thought they would, because the first day was pretty slow. I didn't think they would have seven jurors by Tuesday.
I keep telling you, Monday, everything is warp speed when it comes to getting Trump.
Monday, it seems likely that we are going to basically get the rest of the jury seated. And then there's a decent chance, I think, the week after that, that they could, or maybe they'll start Monday. I don't know. It's moving. The fact that they got the jury this fast is kind of stunning to me.
I'm also coming around more and more to, I think house arrest is where this is heading if they get a conviction. I think that's what
to try to keep him off the trail and make him stay at Mar-a-Lago.
Because I think their calculation is then he's a convicted felon. Again, I'm thinking I'm sitting on the, you know, enemy side of the table here, folks, that he'd be a convicted felon. He's not in a prison cell. He'd be in Trump Tower in New York City. So like no one's going to feel bad for him. He'll be perfectly safe. The Secret Service will, you know, protect him. But it would keep him from being able to do what he needs to do for fundraising. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's
also
the...
Also keeps him off the trail in all the Midwest states where ultimately this election is going to be
decided. I want to ask Andy that. Because also then I think there's just less urgency for... this thing about you're going to lock up a former president. It would be Rikers Island, everyone, okay? I know New York City. That would be where they would most likely try to send him, even if it was for a 30-day stint in the big house. But yeah. I think,
Buck, there's a good chance that this thing is still going to get overturned on appeal. And we'll ask Andy about that, because it's not just the bookkeeping charge. It's that it has to be pegged to an additional crime. And the legality of that, I still question.
But doesn't the judge can decide whether you're in or out pending appeal, right?
In theory, although usually, and again, this is a good question for Andy, when it's not a severe felony, they would say, okay, we're going to bring you back and allow a sentencing to occur, I don't know, a month or two from this event.
Right.
And many people out there may need, yes.
Normal procedure, I don't think normal procedure unfortunately applies here. But look, we're getting fired up for the next hour. Crockett Coffee is what is fueling us, also fueling American dreams, nostalgia, history, all kinds of good stuff. CrockettCoffee.com, everybody. Appreciate so much those of you who subscribe. Telling you, do a $60 order, you get free shipping, and you'll have coffee for a month or two. Everybody who's trying this stuff says it's delicious. We took a long time to find really good coffee, and you're helping us build a great brand. Not just coffee, folks. We're going to be rolling out a whole bunch of products. We're going to be having other conservative voices that are going to be a part of this team and this mission coming up in the months ahead. So it's a movement you are helping us build, and it all starts with a delicious cup of Crockett Coffee. Go to CrockettCoffee.com.
Boom, go do it. If you love America, it should be the coffee company that you're consuming. We come back. We know the Biden administration doesn't understand basic economics. Biden's never had to make any paycheck for a business in his life. He's been a politician. But what he said about Caitlin Clark, and by what he said, I mean the Biden White House, he doesn't know how to tweet. It's really pretty staggering. We're going to talk about it when we return. Thanks for hanging.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.